protection.
Protect.
A protection.
Protect.
A protection.
Protect.
Along the way.
Along the way.
Protection.
Protect.
Salvation.
Salvation.
Strong tower.
Strong tower.
Along the way.
Along the way.
Along the way.
Oh, he's a wonder in my.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaBelle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet, as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your amazing grace, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your fellowship. And thank you, Father God, for your love. Hallelujah. That you would point unto every last one of us under the sound of my voice, on this radio broadcast, a golden scepter of righteousness. A golden scepter of righteousness. Not a religious act, not a religious tradition or ceremony or ritual, but a kingdom act. A king pointing unto his subjects, his children, his family of sons, his citizenry, a golden scepter of righteousness. Whenever a king appoint unto a citizen the golden scepter of righteousness, that means that the citizen can come all the way up to the throne of his grace. I mean, come right up next to him, within hand's reach. That's what that means. You know, when he appoint unto you the golden scepter, that means you can come all the way up within hand's reach. That's how close you can get to the king. And listen, anybody can't go there and can't get that close. Hallelujah. And boy, that's what God has pointed unto every last one of us. Every Saturday when you tune into this radio broadcast, that's God pointing unto you that golden scepter of righteousness. Not a religious act. Not for you to come together and listen to a religious broadcast. But to invite you all the way, amen, into his very presence. Not just afar, not just from afar, but all the way within hand's reach. That's how close he wants to commune with you. That's how close he wants to fellowship with you. That's a sign that the Holy Ghost will bring you into a constant fellowship with your Father in heaven. A personal thing, one-on-one. And I'm not talking about worshiping him or fellowship with him from afar, like he way up in the heavens and we way down here in the earth and we got to use a megaphone to reach him. No, I'm talking about go all the way within hand's reach of him. That's how close. That's how close God wants to commune with you. That's what kind of relationship he wants to have with you. Say, well, boy, I'm talking about it's so close, man. But you can put your arms around him, and he can put his arms around you. That you can touch him, and boy, that he can touch you. That's how close. That's how close he want to be to you. That's how close he want us to be to him. And well, he can just reach out and just touch him. Just like the woman man just reached out and touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. Hey, that's how close I want to get to him. Just that close. Well, you can touch his garment. Well, you can touch his hand. Well, you can touch his, well, you can touch him. Hallelujah. And boy, if you can get in the presence of a king, if you can get there and you can get a king to talk to you, because any kind of way you get into that close to the king, and baby, you know, listen, there's some conversation going to be going on. You're going to say something, he's going to say something to you. And what? When you get a king to speak to you, especially from that place when he's sitting on his throne, that word is law. What you mean that word is law? That means that it got to happen. He can't alter it. He can't change it. He got to perform it. He got to perform it. That's how important it is for you to get the presence of the Lord and get God to talk to you. Because if you can get God to talk to you, he's not a man that he should lie. And he's a son of man that he would change his mind about what he said. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, it's got to come to pass. Listen, if he spoke it, it's got to come to pass. Even if it take 1,000,000,000 years. 1,000,000,000 years to him ain't nothing. 1,000,000,000 years and all your finite thing, and man, listen, we can't even imagine or fathom it. But to God, he live in eternity. So 1,000,000,000 years is just like a breath compared to eternity. Glory to God. Glory be to God, boy. I'm telling you, boy, listen, religion has covered it up and has I don't know what word to use, you know, has watered it down to what, boy, I'm talking about your father and his relationship with his children is really all about. It's not about having church and putting on good programs and singing songs and having a sermon preached. That's all a part of it. That's all in it. But that's a means to an end, those things. But for you to come back into the presence of the Most High God, everything is a means to that end. Because that's how God started off. That's how God started you off, in his presence. The Bible says he planted a garden in Eden, and there he placed the man. That garden that he planted in Eden, that's his presence. That's an atmosphere and an environment that's produced by the literal presence of the Lord. Can you imagine what kind of environment, what kind of atmosphere that is in the presence of the Most High God, in his presence? In that place, that atmosphere, that environment. Lord, Bible said he planted that place on a spot on the earth for a moment, with an open door into a delightful place, the literal presence of the Lord, the kingdom of heaven, that atmosphere, that environment. What kingdom? Not any kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. That atmosphere and that environment on a spot on the earth for a moment with an open door into the literal presence of the Most High God. That's what Eden is. It comes from a Hebrew word with strokes. It got 5 strokes. One is spot. 1 stroke is moment. 1 stroke is open door. 1 stroke is delightful place. And that other stroke is presence. So Eden is not a geographical location. It's an atmosphere and an environment that's created by the literal presence of the Most High God. But an open door into the presence of the Most High God. But you can just commune and fellowship with him, boy. I'm talking about 24/7. That's what God set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He set up heaven on earth. That place that he put Adam and Eve in, that was heaven on earth, on a spot on the earth. And he gave them a mandate, an assignment, what? Be fruitful and multiply and subdue and replenish and subdue the earth. What he's saying there? Man, make the whole earth just like this little, the whole earth. just like this little spot that I'm placing you in. I want it to be on the whole earth, not just a spot for the moment. I want the whole earth to be filled with my glory, said the Lord. So I'm establish that on the earth. And the way I'm going to get that done is through my family of sons called mankind. That's you and I. So it ain't about having church. That's all a part of it. But if you just preoccupied with the means and never get to the end, what's the end? For to establish, boy, I'm talking about the governing influence of God in a territory that he gave us. You know what a kingdom is? A kingdom is the governing influence of a king over his territory, impacting it with his will and his intent and his desire and his purpose, producing men a community of citizens, impacting it, man, with the culture of heaven, the lifestyle of heaven, the nature of heaven, the attributes of heaven. That's what a kingdom is. The governing influence of a king over this territory, impacting it with his will, his intent, and his desire. What kingdom are we talking about? We ain't talking about any kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. What God want? God want to impact, boy, this territory called earth with his governing influence, the same governing influence that he governs heaven with. Not a religion. It's a government. Jesus Christ come to bring, listen, you read your Bible. He didn't come to bring, man, you know, no religion to the earth. He come to bring a government. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And of that government and of that ruling authority, what's a government? That's a ruling authority of a territory. But he came to bring a religion. He came to bring Christianity, Baptist, Methodist, Muslims, Hindus, Catholics, Buddhists. No, he didn't come to bring none of that. He came to bring a government, a governing influence of the king. What king? The king of kings, the most high God, the governing influence of God over his territory. What Jesus Christ come to bring? He come to bring that. What? The government of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. What? Watch this. Not to the earth, back to the earth. And to reestablish, man, what God's original intent and plan and purpose was when he created you and I in his own image and in his own likeness, hallelujah, and gave us dominion. That's sovereignty. You know what sovereignty comes from? Two words, sovereign reign. Sovereign reign means complete rule. Reign means to rule. Sovereign means complete. Sovereignty is complete rule. Not by, not a little bit, complete rule. Complete rule over what? Over what? The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, over all the earth. Everything that comes from the earth, man. The Bible says the heavens is God and the earth is ours. What do you want? He wants to be in our territory just like it is in his territory. How you going to get that done? Through his family of sons. Listen, boy, when he was talking to Adam and Eve in the garden, he was talking to everybody. I always say this on this broadcast because you need to grab a hold of that. Hey, listen, boy, everybody was in Adam in the garden when God told him and gave him those commandments. He was talking to everybody. He made one body from the dust of the ground and never went back to the ground no more. So everybody come from that one body. I can see if he'd have made one body and then went to the ground and made another body and then went to the ground and made another body. No, he just made one body. And from that one body came who? Everybody. Glory to God. So when he was talking to Adam in the garden, he was talking to everybody. He was talking generational. That's what the word Adam means. That's the word. That's not the name that God gave to one man. That's the name that God gave to the species called humanity, the human race, dark earth. Man, who? Spirit being like God, that God came down to the earth and formed man from the dark earth, a body, and then breathed into that body the breath of life, and that spirit being that just like God, that come from God, that's a piece of God, became a living soul. That's a man. That's a spirit being in a physical body with a soul. Spirit, soul, and body. And then God gave him a mandate, what? Be fruitful. What that mean? Be productive. That mean produce something. How you produce something? He set up a principle, boy, called sowing and reaping. How do a king man produce, man, with his words? What do a king sow? What he plant? He don't plant apples and oranges and bananas and all that. He plant his word. His word is the seed. Hallelujah. And our hearts, our mind, our emotions, our attitude, our will, our spirit be, that's the ground. That's the soil. What's the seed? The seed is the spoken word of God. What's the soil that you put the seed in? That's man. Spirit man living in physical bodies with a soul. That's a mind, a will, emotion, attitude. What do you say? Be fruitful. What you mean? Hey, take that word that I said was, let's make man in our image, in our likeness. That's a seed. Now take that seed and plant it into your heart, plant it into your life, plant it into your very being, into your circle of influence, into your atmosphere, into your environment, into your world. Plant that word. Sow that into your life. And watch this here. Hey, if you sow that, you're going to watch. Be not deceived, God not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that's what he's going to reap. Hallelujah. Say that again, bro. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he reap. If you sow to the flesh, to the natural man, just any word, man, then you're the natural man, you're going to reap death and destruction. But if you sow to the spirit, what you saying? If you just put God's word in your mouth, I mean, just it, that's it. If you only say what God say, that's what made Jesus so successful. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. That's it. He was full of the Holy Ghost and acting on the word of God. That's why God wants you and I to get full of the Holy Spirit and, boy, act on the word of God. Not just a hearer of the word of God, not just shout around the word of God, not just get our emotion and, man, feel good about the word of God, and not just, man, have a good church about the word of God, but I'm talking about, boy, making that word of God, man, a glorious word. What's a glorious word? A glorious word is a manifested word. It's more than just a spoken word. It's a spoken word that's manifested. The spoken word, that's the seed. But the potential that's in that seed, the fruit that's in that seed, when that's produced, that's the rhema word. That's the glorious word. That's the manifested word. Glory to God. And boy, that's what brings glory to our God, when his word is being manifested in our lives. Not just preached and learned and taught and all the other things. That's good. That's a part of it. But it's more to that than that. But, man, what he God, man, listen, God wants the earth to be filled with his glory. What's that? He wants the earth to be filled, man, with his character, with his nature, with his will, with his intent, with his desire. And you know what that is? His will, his intent, and his desire is what Jesus Christ taught man us to pray in the seminar that he gave his disciples. He said, pray this way, what? Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Who kingdom come? Our kingdom come? The United States kingdom and governing system come? The world system come? The world kingdom come? The Roman kingdom come? The Greek kingdom come? Whatever kingdom, no, you say, thy kingdom come, Lord, Most High God, and thy will be done, Lord, Most High God. Lord means owner. Most High God is the all-sufficient one, Jehovah. What Lord is, owner. What do he own? Everything. And he's a self-sufficient one. And boy, you say, this is your first petition. What? Lord, let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. Where? In my life. Where? In my life here on earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. That's his will. That's his intent. That's his desire. That's his heart desire. What? That it be in our lives here on earth. Not in heaven. He didn't say that it be in our lives in heaven as it is in heaven. He said that it be in our lives here on earth. Just like it is in heaven. Where at, brother, on earth? What you trying to do and what religion is doing? Religion is preparing God's children to go to hell. the kingdom Jesus Christ come preaching, man, the message that Jesus Christ come preaching, man, the kingdom that he come established on the earth is not to prepare mankind to go to heaven, but to bring heaven back to mankind and teach mankind the functioning principles, man, and how to live in that governing influence on the earth. What governing influence? Heaven. Not the religion of heaven. The governing influence of heaven. That government. How you gonna man know that, man, and all that, man? You don't know nothing about the government of heaven. That's what the devil tried to keep us from the knowledge of, boy. That's what he come to rob, boy, the word of God of our life. What word? I ain't talking about the word that he spoke through the prophets. All the words that he spoke to the prophets and everything else, listen, that's God's permissive will. If you don't hear nothing else, here it is. Listen, there's a perfect will of God, and there's a permissive will of God. Listen, this ain't no pink tea gospel right here, boy. It's the gospel of the kingdom. And this, man, if you learn these things right here, we'll learn how to live, man. Man, I'm talking about productive life. We'll make our way prosperous, and we'll have good success. I ain't talking about profit in money and gold and silver. All that's added to it. I'm talking about profit in man and being what God told us to be, what? Fruitful. What's that? Productive. What you mean? Man, be who I say you are. If I say you the head, not the tail, be that. If I say you blessed in the city and blessed in the field, be that. If I say, man, by the stripes of Jesus you heal, be that. If I say I'm going to supply all your needs, man, according to my riches and glory, be that. If I say, boy, you are a sheep of my pastor and I'm your shepherd, he say, then be that. If you say, hey, I ain't never going to leave you, I ain't never going to forsake you, so you ain't got to worry about nothing, then be that. Be everything that he say you, that you are. How you be that, Arthur? Hey, man, you got to, like I say, boy, you got to decree that and you got to declare that. You got to come to the knowledge of it first, of what he say. You got to come to the knowledge, man, of the primary law in the kingdom of God. What's that, boy? That's the law of life. What's the law of life? Well, you hear me say this all the time on the radio broadcast. Hey, boy, the law of life is what the king say. I ain't talking about what Jeremiah, Isaiah, and David, and none of them. That's all in it. But I'm talking about, boy, I'm talking about what he said, man, before they even went to call out by saying, what he said before there even was a David or Isaiah or a prophet or it or there or when or where, what he said. What who say? What God said. What he said. I'm going to say it again. Not what Jeremiah said, not what Isaiah said. Thank God for them. But, boy, that was God's permissive will when he was speaking through them. I'm talking about his perfect will. Boy, when he was speaking to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you need to go back and see, boy, what he said there. Because that's his original intent right there. That's his original idea right there. That's the expression of his original thought and original idea from the beginning. Not in the beginning, from the beginning. That's two different things. Genesis chapter 1, that's in beginnings. That's a whole bunch of beginnings, but I'm talking about before there ever was a beginning, man. But I'm talking about he the one who started, start, and stop. He the Alpha and Omega. He, listen, he ain't got no beginning. He created beginnings. And I ain't talking about that which man he created, man, in Genesis chapter 1. I'm talking about that which was from the beginning. Not in the beginning, from the beginning. What you mean, man? That which man was in the heart of God, man, in his mind, in his will, in his thought, his original idea, his original precept, his original desire and intent. What was in his mind? What was in his heart? What was in his thought? What was his idea? A silent word. And then, boy, when he is spoken, he became articulated, a spoken word. Then it became an expression of that idea. Of who? The expression of the ideas of God, the spoken thought. And when it's spoken, like I told you, boy, when he speaks from his throne, glory to God, boy, it got to happen. It don't matter if it takes him a trillion years, like I say, 100 trillion years, a trillion years. He's going to have what he say. Let me tell you something about that, man. If you understand that, then you'll do, boy, what's best for you and for every man and for every woman, for every boy, and for all of us. But to fill yourself up, man, with that which is eternal. What's that? Heaven and earth and everything else gonna pass away. But the word of the Lord, the law of life, the law of life, what's the law of life? The word of the Most High God. There's life in that word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him was life. That's in, man, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him was what? Life. In who? The Word. What kind of life? Zoe life. Z-O-E. What kind of life is that? That's life in the absolute sense. That's life the way God lives, and life the way God intended for you and I to live. You know how he intended for you and I to live? The same way he lived, glory to God. Just like he lived in his kingdom, he wants us to live, boy, in our kingdom. So that our kingdom, man, will reflect a likeness to his kingdom, to that eternal home, hallelujah, that you and I, man, originated from. And God said, I'm going to give you your territory so that you could make your territory just like, boy, the territory that you come from. That's why the Bible says, Philippians, you know, your citizenship is in heaven. That's where you originated at. If God wouldn't want you to spend eternity in heaven, then he would just left you up in heaven. Why he brought you down here to the earth? Because the heaven belonged to God, and the earth he gave to you. For what purpose? To make it on earth just like it is in heaven. To make earth a colony of heaven. To make earth the kingdom of heaven. To make earth just like it is in heaven. To set up that governing influence upon the earth. Not what Trump them is doing and all that. That's the governing system of mankind. And ain't no governing system, man. I don't care who they are, what the deal is, what they debate, who they get in, who the president is. Ain't no governing system, man, can fix this world, boy, that we live in. This earth that we live in. It ain't but one perfect governing system. It ain't but one utopia. It ain't but one perfect world. What was that? That's what God set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Boy, that's a perfect world there. And listen, he didn't set up no religion. He set up a governing system on the earth. The devil boy didn't trick the other man separating state, church from state. Church is state. But boy, he don't want you to do that, man. He wants the earth to be governed, man, by human government. Instead of, boy, the governing man system of God. Instead of the governing system of heaven. That's why, boy, the church don't know nothing about the gospel of the kingdom. Why? Because the God of this world have blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. They're seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not. And their eyes, the Bible say, have they closed. Wow. Because they're so steeped in religion. And religion, man, is taking the place, man, of relationship. And all they're doing is putting on programs and rituals and ceremonies. And let me tell you something, man. Hey, God's grace and God's mercy and God's awesome love for us, boy, I'm talking about in spite of all of that, God keeps right on loving us. God keep right on me and saying, listen, I ain't never going to leave you. I ain't never going to forsake you. I don't care what the deal is. I don't care if you don't ever come to the knowledge of it, man. Let me tell you something. There's still stored up for you a crown of glory. Because my grace is sufficient for everything, said the Lord, that you might go through. The good, the bad, the ups, the downs, the whatever you might go through. Hey, Lord. My counsel going to stand, said the Lord. What do you mean my counsel going to stand? When I say let's make man in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion over the earth, I don't care what it look like. I don't care what it seem like. It might not be that way up on the earth. But let me tell you something, boy, said the Lord. The very fact that it ain't going out of my mouth, it can't return to me, boy, hallelujah. And it's going to accomplish that. It's going to be that, hallelujah. What it going to be? They're going to be what I said. What you said, Lord? My perfect will. What's your perfect will? Let's make them just like us. Let's make who? Let's make, man, my children, my offspring, my son, my male and female offsprings, man. Some in male bodies, some in female bodies. Let's make them what? Just like us. Hallelujah. So they could do what? So they could walk like us, talk like us, think like us, be like us, live like us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Manifest us in their territory. Manifest that culture. That nature. We're trying to manifest, man, African culture and all these different cultures of the world, man. And listen, man, let me tell you something, boy. When you get back to, man, the original culture, that, boy, I'm talking about God has given us the power and the ability to establish. What culture is that? That's the culture of heaven. What culture is greater than that, man? Yeah, your African culture, man, can't even compare to that. But not African culture and everything else, man. He worked through those means and everything, but all those are means to an end to get you back to the original culture, the one that God set up on the earth. What culture was that? And God planted a garden in Eden. That culture. And there he placed a man. And there he told a man to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the earth. In other words, boy, I'm talking about man, make the whole earth just like this little spot. Now on your mark, get set, go. And God established your man and set them on course toward their destination. That's in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. In Genesis chapter 3, another word came on the scene. Another voice came on the scene, who? The devil. And he had to have a body to work in. Spirits can't operate in the earth without bodies. That's why God, man, say, let them have dominion. Who is them? They're spirit beings that have a body that live on the earth. And God say, let them have dominion. Who? Spirit beings with bodies. So devil ain't got no authority in his earth. He need a body. Same way with God. God can't come into this earth and start usurping authority man in the earth, man, without man. He need a body. That's why, boy, you call the body of Christ. That's why you call the hands and the legs and the feet and the eyes and the ears and the mouth and the tongue. Why? Because God need a body too. And he produced a body for himself to live in. Hallelujah. And he produced it from the earth. Hallelujah. And then he breathed into that earthen vessel the breath of life. Ooh. He released the spirit of man that comes from God and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The ability of God, the power of God, the life of God on the inside of that spirit being living on the inside of a physical body. And then he said, let them, who? Spirits that live in physical bodies, have dominion in the earth, kingship in the earth, sovereign reign in the earth, power and control and influence in their territory. For what purpose? To set up man a culture of heaven, that culture on the earth. And God said, now, on your mark, get set, go. What? They know their destination. They know where they're headed. They know what their assignment is. What their assignment is? For it to be on earth just like it is in heaven. How they gonna carry out that assignment? By being fruitful. And then multiplying the fruit, reproducing the fruit. Then men distributing the fruit. And then men controlling the market. So doing it. Continuous man progress, continuous cycle, man, of being productive, man, and producing man a lot, man, and then distributing that man over what? Over all the earth. Wow, so that fruitfulness, what fruit is that, boy? The fruit of the Spirit, peace, joy, long-suffering, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, all of the characteristic, man, and the nature of Almighty God. Well, man, produce that. Produce a likeness, man, to that eternal home that awaits us, man, in glory. Produce that on the earth. Be who I say you are. Not what the world say you are, and not what the circumstance and situation and symptoms say you are, and not what people say you are, and not what the devil say you are, and not what the doctor say you are, the teacher say you are, the mankind say you are, but be being who God say you are. Why? Because that's the word of life. That's the primary law in the kingdom. And when you begin to function according to that law, then guess what's going to start taking place in our lives? We're going to start becoming. Becoming what? Becoming who we already are. Mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. When we learn our men what God is really doing. What God is really doing, man, he established his kingdom upon the earth. In Genesis chapter 3, he lost his kingdom and his children. And everything that he was doing, man, through Genesis chapter 3 all the way to the end of the Old Testament is a means to one end. And that's to get his children back and to reestablish, boy, what he started and what he had going on in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And let me tell you something. The Old Testament, the theme of the Old Testament was the restoration, man, of God's kingdom. The restoration, man, of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, back on the earth. What's that, boy? That's the theme of the Old Testament. That's what the Old Testament is all about. God established his kingdom on the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. In Genesis chapter 3, he lost that kingdom. And from Genesis chapter 3, man, and verse 15 all the way to the end of Malachi is a means to one end. was there? To reestablish that kingdom, to reestablish Genesis chapter 1 and 2 back up on this earth. Hallelujah. And what he had going on in there, and what his original intent and desire and plan and purpose for the creation of the universe, for the creation of earth, and for the creation of mankind, to reestablish that back on the earth. Not church, not religious, not rituals, not ceremonies, to do what's right on, to reestablish, man, God's will and God's kingdom back up on the earth. Jesus told you to pray there. Like what? Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. Well, on earth, just like it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Now give us this day and every day, everything that we have need of, our daily bread, hallelujah. What? To accomplish that. To accomplish what? Hallelujah. Your kingdom on the earth and your will on the earth. To who governs the system? The United States? No. Russia? No. Israel? No. What governing system? Any of the governing systems of the earth? No. What governing system? The governing system of heaven. What? Back on the earth. But if you don't know nothing about the governing system of heaven, then how are you going to establish it? That's what the Bible means when you say the thief. That's the devil. When he came in Genesis chapter 3, he came for one purpose. To what? To steal. Steal what? Steal the primary law out of your life. Steal the word of God out of your heart and out of your life. Steal what God said out of your heart and out of your life. And you read it all the time, man, and I'm talking about, man, don't comprehend, man, what it's saying. What? And who's saying that? The Bible's saying God said. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, it's saying God said. In Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and then in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, it's saying God said. And in verse 9, it's saying God said. And in verse 11, it's saying God said. And in verse 14, it's saying God said. And in verse 20, it's saying God said. And in verse 24, it's saying God said. And boy, all them things he was saying in no chapter right there, after the first, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day. And boy, in all those days when he said it was so and it was good. And then on the sixth day, he said this, let's make man. Who? And God said, let's make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creeping up on the earth, over all the earth. And watch this here. And God created them in his image. Male and female created he them. And watch this here. And God blessed them. Hello. What happened? This the first word. What God say? After he created them in his image and they liked it, he said, and God blessed them. God did what? God blessed them. And let me tell you something. What God blessed can't be cursed. Adam and Eve wasn't cursed. Man, listen, boy, he told Adam, curse at the ground. Your body gonna go back to the ground. Instead of being on earth, the ground, and then your body that comes from the ground, just like it is in heaven, that's cursed. Instead of being in heaven on earth, it's like it is here on earth now. Why? Because you established a whole nother governing system, man, up on earth, the governing system of the devil. You done got off the word of life, man, and got onto the word, man, of sin and death. And what's the result of that, man? Listen to him. That's the thief come to steal. Steal what? The word of life. That's what the devil did. And he wasn't attacking Eve and everything. You know what he attacked? The first thing he said is, what did God say? Did God say for you not to eat up the trees in the garden? He know what God said, but he coming to rob what God said out of mankind's heart and out of their life. He it wasn't about no apple, no fruit, man. He was coming after the word of God. First thing he say, had God said? What he after? Man, he after the word of life. He don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of man and depend upon man and put your confidence and trust and everything in man, in God and his word, man, and the integrity of his word. Let me tell you something. He ain't a man that he should lie. Boy, if you get him to speak to you, I'm telling you, boy, it got to happen, man. Everybody devil on your neighbor wants you to know more how powerful the word of God is and for it to have its proper place in your life. Let me tell you something. Whatever place the word of God holds in your life determines what place God holds in your life. If you just have a lackadaisy attitude toward the word of God, then you got a lackadaisy attitude toward the Most High God himself. Why? Because he is the word. The devil comes out to steal, man, your attitude toward the word of God and make it lackadaisy, man. You know, if not important, man, you take it for granted. What? The word of the Most High God, that which is eternal, that which man brought everything into existence, that created everything, all things was made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He came to his own men, and his own received him not. So that's all his children. That's mankind. They start putting their confidence and trust in man, everybody's word but God's word. Even you, if the doctor tells you you got cancer, you got more trust in that than the word of God that say, I'm the Lord thy God who will take cancer away from the midst of you. That same doctor, that same symptom, that same circumstance that say you got cancer and everything else, that same symptom, hallelujah, that's a report. That's a word. But I'm talking about a more sure word, man. Boy, that same man, there's another report, boy, and that report say, man, I'm the Lord your God. I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. Who confidence you got more confidence in? What the body say, what the symptoms say, what the doctor say, or what God say? You do the math. Why are you telling me this, Arthur? Because I want you to know, boy, what the thief coming to steal out your heart. What God says. And if he can steal that out your heart, then he can keep it, man. What? He can keep it out your heart. How he steal it out your heart? By keeping it out of your mouth. Because the only way you can get it down into your heart, you got to put it there. That's that law I was talking about, boy, called a law of sowing and reaping. You got to put God's word in your mouth. Man, you listen, we waiting on God to do things and everything. Listen, this is what religion got us all screwed up and messed up with, man. We waiting on God to do, man, what God then delegated us to do. We waiting on God and God waiting on us. We tell God, man, to heal so-and-so and everything else, and man, you know that he can do it and everything else. And God say, yeah, that's right, I sure can, but I need a body. I'm waiting on you. I give you power. I give you authority. I give you free will, what, to choose. I give you another law in the kingdom, what, the law of liberty, what. You can eat off any trees in the garden. You can listen to what the doctors say, the body say, the symptoms say, the whatever, man. Or you can listen to my words. You got free will. You got free choice. And then he tell you what to choose. Hey, choose my word. Choose life. Watch this here. Not so that you can live, but so that you and your seed shall live. What's your seed? That's all your children, all your children's children, children's children. Children's children's children, on down to 1,000 generations, that Jesus will carry that along. What are you talking about, Arthur? Boy, I'm talking about life in the kingdom, man, and life, boy, that would bring glory to God. I ain't talking about having no good church and putting on programs and seminars and then determining, man, how well the program was and determining, man, how well, man, our relationship with God. And that ain't got nothing to do with it, man. What, man, determines, man, you pleasing God is you living by faith. That's another law in the kingdom, boy. That's in Genesis 1 and 2 in those chapter 1. That's a law of faith. Well, boy, the just shall live by faith. Faith in what, man? Faith in my church? Faith in my denomination? Faith in what the preacher say? No, faith in, man, the word of God. Faith in what God sees. Faith in God's perfect will. Listen, from Genesis, I'm going to say this again. I said it earlier. From Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve, man, disobeyed God, man, and that's another law in the kingdom. God gave him freedom. He said, listen, you can eat out of every tree in the garden you want to. And then he gave him a commandment. That's liberty right there. You can eat out of every tree. And he told him what tree he got in the garden. Peace, joy, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, prosperity, everything, all of the fruits of the kingdom. Boy, that's in that garden. So you can eat off all of them, boy. He said, and there's a tree of life in the midst of the garden, and in there is also a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can eat off all the trees. The tree of life, the tree of good and evil, the tree of peace, the tree of health, the tree of healing, the tree of prosperity, the tree of joy, unspeakable, full of glory. The tree of the character and nature of God. All these are trees in the garden, man, with fruits on it. But you can eat all them trees and become that, man. Become what you eat. Then you say, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat off of that one. So if you eat off of that one, then you're going to surely die. You're going to separate yourself from your souls. You're going to separate yourself from the word of life. You're going to separate yourself from the primary law in the kingdom, by which every other law man get his essence from and his substance from. But that law, that's the primary law. You're going to separate yourself from me and what I say. And if you separate yourself from what I say, and if what I say is life, and if you separate yourself from what I say from life, then, man, this is what it's going to produce, what? Death. What's death? Death is separation from God. Death begins first, man, with spiritual death, not physical death. The first death, man, is spiritual death. What's death? That's separation from God. That's separation, man, from the word of life. That's separation, man, from man, the culture of heaven. That's separation from what God is doing. That's separation from God. That's spiritual death. And that death produced physical death. And there's also another death. That's eternal death. Eternal death of man being eternally separated from God. See, right now, that's hope for everybody, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Hope for what? To be reconciled back to God. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. That's the ministry that God gave all of us. He said, hey, go into all the world and make disciples of all men and teach them what I taught you, what? That God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world back unto himself. Listen at this, not imputing man's trespasses against them, but has given us the ministry of reconciliation. For this reason, that God was in his son, Jesus Christ, that God was doing this. Doing what? Hooking mankind back up to himself. To reconcile means to make one. To reconcile means to make one again. What was he doing in Christ Jesus? Reconciling mankind back to him. Hooking mankind up back to him, man. Boy, getting rid of, man, that spiritual separation, man, and cleansing you up from all your unrighteousness so that you can come all the way up into his very presence, to the throne of God's grace, and obtain mercy and find grace to help you any time you need it, man. That's the love of God, boy. That's another law in the kingdom. That's a law of love, man. That's a passage, man, all our faults and mistakes, man, that covers a multitude of sin. Listen, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden and sinned and got themselves separated from God, they tried to provide salvation for themselves. That's what religion do. The first religion started, man, they called him the mighty man in the early den. That was Nimrod. You know the story about Nimrod, how Nimrod, man, he established the first kingdom. He was the first king on the earth, but the people, man, he was a mighty hunter and a mighty ruler. And boy, Nimrod had got all the people together, man, under his sovereign reign. And he said, come and let us build us a city with a tower in that will reach up to the heaven. And come and let us make a name for ourselves. What he said, come, let's build us a place. What God did, God built a place on the earth, man, called the Garden of Eden. What Nimrod did say, now that place is gone, come let us build us a place with a tower in it, with a worship center in it. Why? So that we can, man, won't be scattered over the earth, and let's make a name for ourselves. Let's provide salvation for ourselves. That's what religion does. You got to do this, man, to be saved. You got to do that to be saved. You ain't got to do nothing, man, but, man, operate in the law of faith, man. What that faith, man, in the love of God and the promises of God. God promised Adam something, man, when he fell. He said, listen, I can't dwell with you like I was in the Garden of Eden. You out of that place, but I promise you something. Well, I ain't never going to leave you. I ain't never going to forsake you. I can't be in you no more. And, man, my purpose ain't never going to change, but now my plan got to change. I can't live in you no more because you separated from me. Your sins have separated you from me. But I promise you something, man, that boy, even in your fault, and even in your mistakes, and even in your failure, I ain't never going to leave you. I ain't never going to forsake you. And boy, I'm telling my boy, Adam then tried to provide salvation for himself. They covered themselves up with some leaves from the tree. And God come and took that leaves off of them and killed a lamb, man, and covered them, man, with the skin and blood of the kids. Cover them, man, with life. God provided salvation for them. God provided a covering for them. God was saying, man, you can't save yourself, but I promise you something, what? I got you. And then he gave him a promise. There's another law in the kingdom, man, called a promise of God. What did he say? He said, I promise you something. What? The seed of that woman going to come, and he's going to bruise your head, baby. He called up about something. What do you say? He say, listen, I ain't gonna leave you, and I ain't gonna forsake you. And not only I'm not gonna leave you and forsake you, but one of these days, hey, when in the fullness of time, when the setting is right, I'm coming myself in the person of that seed of that same woman that the devil deceived and tricked you. I'm gonna use a woman too, just like he used a woman to get y'all off course. I'm going to use a woman to get y'all back on course. Hallelujah. And boy, I'm talking about, he's going to bruise my head, but I'm going to bruise his authority and his head and take back the authority that Adam gave him and give it back to you. That's what he meant when he said he's going to bruise your head. And boy, you know I'm talking about Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. Who that was? That was God in man, Emmanuel. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And further, they say the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. And you shall call his name Emmanuel, what? God in man. God with you. God fulfilling a promise that he made man way back in Genesis chapter 23 when he told Adam and Eve, even though I can't live with you no more and everything else, yet my counsel is going to stand. And I promise you, man, I'm coming myself and I'm going to redeem your life from this destruction and I'm going to restore you back to what my original plan and purpose and destiny is for your life. I promise you that, Adam. Hello. And boy, I'm talking about 2,000 years, man, ago, boy, he fulfilled that promise. He came in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, and redeemed our life from the destruction that Adam sold us into and restored back to us, boy, what we lost. And see, what the devil then preoccupied us with is the redemptive message. And that's a good message. That's a needed message. You got to be preached that. But if you just preach just a redemptive message, then you're going to know it, how Jesus Christ died for your sin. You ain't going to know nothing, man, about what you've been restored to. Listen, when you hear me say all the time on this radio broadcast, I'll be getting to bring it to an end. Let me tell you something. You hear me say it's two messages. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. I don't never want you to think, man, that I'm saying you're supposed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, man. All I'm saying is you don't preach just that. That's a means to an end. What you're supposed to preach this, Brother Arthur, you're supposed to preach the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. Now listen at this and listen to this closely. If you preach the gospel of Jesus, the good news about Jesus, how he come from God and how he died up on the cross for our sin, and how he was raised from the dead, and how he opened blind by the male's eyes, and how he healed them and healed that, then you're going to have faith in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he can do and what he did. You know, you're going to have faith that he's the Savior from your sin. But, man, that's what, you ain't going to have no faith in, man, in who you are and what he did and why he did. So, man, the devil preoccupied us with just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ instead of the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. Let me try to say it in a better way. See, you can preach the gospel of Jesus and never preach the gospel that he preached. That's what's been happening for the last 1,800 years. After, man, 2,000 years after that, man, where the gospel began to be lost, when the kingdom message, the gospel of the kingdom began to be lost in the graveyard of religion, and mankind, the devil preoccupied mankind with a good thing at the expense of forfeiting what? A great thing. What's a good thing? The gospel of Jesus Christ, that's a good thing. Hallelujah. But a greater thing is the gospel that he preached. Now, you can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the good thing and never get to the great thing. But if you preach, listen to this, but if you preach the gospel that he preached, the great thing, then the gospel about him is automatically contained in it. So you can preach the gospel of Jesus and never say nothing about the kingdom of God. And that's how the church is now. Don't know nothing about the kingdom of God. You do the math. Go ask the pastor. Go ask men, the leaders in the church, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus said this about the religious leaders. He said, y'all the enemy to the kingdom of God. Woe unto you, scribes and you Pharisees. Your eyes have you blind, and your heart have you hard. Seeing you see not, and hearing you hear not, you won't enter in, nor will you allow men, those who are trying to enter in, to come in. Why? Because you steeped in religion. Then how we've been doing it for this year, and did that my grandmother did, and did that my great grandfather did, and did they train? You all caught up in religion, man, and rituals and ceremonies, but all the time, boy, there's a kingdom that's available to you. What kingdom? The kingdom of heaven. What Jesus Christ was preaching, that's your inheritance. It was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. You lost it in Adam. Hallelujah. And in Adam's disobedience, you got separated from God. I come in to fix up all of this, to reconcile you back to God, and to reestablish, man, God's original plan and purpose and destiny it for your life. And what was that again? That you be just like him. Same character, same nature as he do. How am I going to get that manifested in my life, Arthur? You got to hear that. You got to hear that. How you hear that? You got to preach that message. You got to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. That's why the devil come to rob that word out of your life. Why? Because you don't have no faith in that. You got faith in, like I told you, what the doctors say, what the Bible say, what the circumstances say, what the counsel of sales say, and you start lining your words up, man, with that. What the devil doing? He coming to rob, boy, the word of life out of you, out of your heart and your mouth and your saying. So he start having you saying, my high blood pressure, my sugar diabetes, I don't feel too good, my got cancer, I got this, I got that. And it might be a fact. But the truth of the matter is, man, let me tell you something. He bore out in front of me. He carried out of Greece, man, on a tree called Calvary, man. And by his stripes, we were healed. We were redeemed from the curse of the law. I didn't mention this in here, but there's another law in that kingdom, man, called the law of sin and death. He told me, man, you eat off that tree, I can mention it a little bit. He said, you're going to die. And they died. Well, let me tell you something, what happened in the love of God, man. Came, man, 4,000 years later and 2,000 years ago. And redeemed us from the curse of the law. Did what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law. Did what? Redeemed us. The word deem means to own. Redeemed means to own again. What it did? The law, man, and sin and the law separated us from God. And what Jesus Christ come did? Hooked us back up to God by obeying all the law. So, boy, the law of sin and death, you've been redeemed from that law, from that curse. All the curses that God has pronounced on the earth and everything else, and women having childbearing and Adam and all this, that he cursed me or that he spoke over their life, listen, you've been redeemed from that curse. You've been redeemed from that. So there ain't no male or female no more, no distinction between the two. Ain't no such thing as men and women don't both to preach and this and that and everything else. That's under the law. That's under the law, man, of sin and death. Man, but you've been redeemed from the law. Let me tell you something. They both had the assignment to proclaim the good news, man, about the kingdom of God, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. They both were fellowshipping with God. And the assignment was to be fruitful and produce a whole lot and then tell their children about it and then tell their children about it, who the male and the female, tell them who they offspring. They male and female offspring were the gospel of the kingdom, the good news, the word of God, speaking the word of God. Listen, y'all, my time is about up on this radio broadcast. And the only thing that God wants us to know that, man, let me tell you something, that's a going on and gone. And, boy, we got to, man, rise from our now and start moving toward our destiny. Let's go higher. Let's come out of religion, man, and get back into relationship and grow in the things of God so that we can bring glory to his name. How you bring glory to his name? By manifesting his word in the earth. How you manifest his word in the earth? By coming to the knowledge, man, of what Jesus preached and begin to speak that, begin to proclaim that. That's what preach means, to publicly declare a message and do what it did teach. Teach what? To instruct for change. I close with this. The Bible say, boy, Paul stayed in his whole high house. This is at the end of this ministry. And he said, that's in Acts chapter 30, in the last chapter of Acts, in the last three verses. He say, man, and Paul stayed in his high house and received all those who came unto them. Listen at this. And he preached unto them the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and he taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? He did just like what Jesus did. He preached, man, the kingdom of heaven first, and then he taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Paul do? He preached the kingdom of heaven first, then he taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I say I don't want to ever think you say you're supposed to preach the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you, but you got to keep preach the kingdom first.